Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. There was a Navy ship that was in the South Pacific. This is almost a true story. And it spied smoke coming up from an island, and actually saw there were three huts on the island. It was one of those huts the smoke was coming up from. And upon arriving at the shore, they were met by a shipwrecked survivor, and he said, "I'm so glad you're here. I've been alone on this island for more than 10 years. The captain replied, "If you're all alone on the island, why do I see three huts?" He said, "Oh, well, I live in that one. I go to church in that one." He said, "What about the third hut?" He said, "That's the church I used to go to." Two old men had been friends for years. They're both in their 90s when one of them suddenly falls deathly ill. His friend comes to visit him on his deathbed, and they're reminiscing about their long friendship when the dying man's friend asks, "Listen, when you die, do me a favor. I want to know if there's baseball in heaven." The dying man said, "Well, we've been friends for years. This I'll do for you," and then he dies. A couple of days later, his surviving friend is sleeping when he hears his friend's voice. The voice said, "I got some good news and some bad news. The good news is there's baseball in heaven. What's the bad news?" "Bad news is you're pitching on Wednesday." This was printed in a Texas newspaper. The oldest cowboy in Texas died this week at the age of 106. On his birthday, he was asked his secret to longevity, and he said that for the past 50 years, he sprinkled a little gunpowder on his cereal each morning. He left behind 8 children, 21 grandchildren, 32 great-grandchildren, and a 15-foot hole in the crematorium. Goodness, goodness. Hey, I'm glad you're here today. You glad I'm here? No one ever says that to me. Like, you know, I would have thought, "I'm glad you're here." And you say, "Oh, I'm glad you're here, Pastor." But no one, now I had to prompt you for that. So it's not the same. Hey, Caleb, I'm sorry. No, it'd be Greg. Greg, see if you can zoom in on that and get that picture up on the screen. Can you zoom in a little more? That's it. That's all she wrote. Okay. Well, I don't know if you can see that or not, but that's a picture that my wonderful artistic ability was able to create. Please don't. How'd you do that? What? Very good, Caleb. So this is from actually January 23rd of this past year. The Lord spoke to me prophetically and said that 2023 is going to be a very interesting year. Now, we're just now finishing up our first, a little bit more than a quarter of 2023. And he went on and said, in it we'll see kingdom function on a level we've not experienced, and yet at the same time we'll be challenged in our own walk individually. And if you could put that picture back up there. This is my very simple way of seeing what the Lord has been speaking to us. Now, how many of you know the mountain of the Lord? We're going to talk about that today. That's where God called Moses up to the mountain of the Lord, and it's there that Moses saw God face to face, and he interacted with God, and amazing things took place. You know what I'm talking about, right? And there's two sides to the mountain of the Lord, and they're both very important sides. You can't have a mountain without having both sides, right? And so on one side, we have kingdom function. Everyone say kingdom function. The other side, we have kingdom perfection, or said another way, holiness. Or to say kingdom function, we're talking about authority and power. They're both necessary in order to ascend the mountain of God. That we have to walk in kingdom function, we have to walk in authority and power, and we have to walk in holiness or the perfection of the Lord. Now, it's interesting, the perfection of the Lord does not mean that you're perfect. It means you're in pursuit of his perfection, of his righteousness. As long as you're in pursuit of it, then he takes care of the rest. When you're in pursuit of what he desires for you, he places his robe on you, and he becomes your righteousness. Are you with me? Now, turn away from him, and by default, that robe is removed from us. It's not removed by the Lord, it's removed by you. When you turn away from the Lord, that robe cannot go with you. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, I say all that to kind of underscore what it is the Lord is going to be speaking today. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that you help us to unpack, to discover, to explore in the kingdom what you desire for us to gain. And that you help us, help me to be a vessel, and help them to be hearers of the word in Jesus' name. But not only hearers, but also doers of the word. Say that. I'm not just a hearer. I am a doer also. Amen. Which reminds me, during worship, and can you thank God for Scott just jumping in, and Dave and Kirsten. Great job, guys. Great job. Great job. That was fun. Kevin's up in New York right now. I'm sure if he would have answered my text, he would be sending his greetings and love. Next week when you see him, just say, how come you don't answer Pastor Brian's text? All right, just tell him that. Bump him pretty good about it, okay? He'll be like, what did you say to these people? I said, well, if you'd have watched the podcast, you would see what I say to them. We like to have fun here. So when they were doing the one song in worship, in that song, we were calling for the fire of God, and the Lord struck me with something that's very important. We're all asking for the fire of God, but we're not willing to put the flesh on the altar so the fire will fall. I'll just leave that there right now. Exodus 19. We were looking at this today, actually, in Constant Devotional. So let me summarize this with you. When God leads his people, he always has a destination in mind. He's not just taking you for a walk. Come on, somebody. This is not for personal enjoyment. It should be enjoyable, even to you personally. But there is a place that he's wanting to for you to arrive. And in this case, the journey is not about how many miles you put in. It's not about getting to this location and then the next location and then the next location. As a matter of fact, I'll go even further and say that life for us in Christ, for me as a minister of God, it's not about the number of people that we win. It's not about the ministry or the healings that take place. Those are all important, but it's not about that. It's about him and you. The journey is just the context. The ministry really is just the context. He wants me to minister. He wants me to preach because when I preach, I have to get into the word and I have to study and I have to try to discover and to explore. And when I do that, I find I fall very short and I have to lean into God and I have to know him in a way that I've never knew him before. And when I discover God in a way I've never discovered him before, I become someone I've never been before. Or said another way, that you can only become if you see God correctly. To the extent that you see God is the extent you become who you're supposed to be. And one of the things that you were actually having prayed over without your knowledge, probably, is that when people were coming into the building, as you were coming into the building, someone was there praying for you that God would open your eyes, that you would see God a little more than you saw him before. Somebody was praying over you, changing the atmosphere, shifting the atmosphere, because the enemy doesn't want you to see God. He wants you to see you. And he doesn't even want you to see you the way God sees you. He wants you to see you the way that you see you or the way that other people see you. But you don't have a right to see you the way other people see you. You don't even have a right to see you the way that you see you. You only have a right to see him the way that see you the way that he sees you. Why? Because that's the only right version of who you are. Are you with me? See, here's the problem. When you see you the way that others see you, remember, who we see ourselves as, that's how we behave. Or I act out of who I am. And if I perceive me to be something less than what he perceives me to be, then I'll do something far less than he wants me to do. I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. Look, the point is that he's not interested in what you do. What you do is just an indication of how you see you. And how you see you is an indication of how you see him. That's why he wants to be with you. Because he wants to reveal himself to you more and more. Why? Because he's wholly invested in you. That's why he created the universe. He didn't put the stars up there just to put the stars up there. It's a backdrop for his relationship with you. That's how important you are to him. You're so important to him that he gave his own son to become a sacrifice for you so you could be redeemed back to the Father, so he could speak to you about who you are and you could learn who you are because you first learn who he is. Ooh, come on, somebody. And so God has this journey that he has the people on because he's wanting to reveal himself to them. That's his whole point. And he says, okay, look, I delivered you from Egypt. I got you through the Red Sea. I dealt with the Egyptians, all right? But look, you can shout and dance and carry on about. See, the problem is we want to go back and have a party about what God did yesterday. And we want to go back and visit what God did yesterday. But if I go back and celebrate what God did yesterday only because I want to go back there, then I'll live in the past and I'll never get to my tomorrow. Dang. For those of you that don't know me, I'm not angry. I'm just passionate right now, okay? I'm just excited. Verse 4 of Egyptians, yeah. Exodus 19. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You saw that. How I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. All the earth is mine. Look, I don't need you to deal with the devil. I can deal with the devil. I want you to deal with the devil. Why? Because it's part of you becoming who you're supposed to be. Because you can't deal with the devil on your own. If you try, you'll get your lunch eaten. But if you lean into me, then I'll reveal to you a little more about myself. You'll become a little more of who you are. Then you'll do more damage to the devil you thought you could do. Are you with me? He said, look, here's how this is going to work. If you obey my voice, keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And, everyone say and. Here it is. Here's the bullet point right here. Here's the big punch. Here's what he's after. Here's the destination. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. There it is. There it is. It's seen again in the book of Revelation. It's said a little bit different in the book of Revelation. It says, and you shall become a nation of kings and priests. What's a king do? A king rules on the earth. What's a priest do? A priest rules from heaven to earth. You got to have both. You got to have that both sides of that mountain. It isn't enough for you to rule from heaven if you can't rule on the earth. If you can't rule your own life,
then God's not going to give you authority and power over devils, because the conduit from which that power is coming through is going to twist that power, that authority, just enough to make it something that it's not meant to be. But you have to rule your own life, and you have to rule from heaven. Jesus said that I sit before the Father, and I do nothing unless I hear the Father say it, and I see the Father do it. And that's what we're invited to. Seated with him in heavenly places. That we sit before him. We take our seats of authority. You have a seat of authority. You say, bro, I'm not called with the same call you're called. No, you're not. You don't have my seat. I have my seat, but you have your seat. The question is, are you sitting in your seat of authority, or are you leaving some devil sit in your seat of authority? Because that's what Adam and Eve did. They abdicated their seat of authority and turned it over to Lucifer and said, here, you rule the world, because we're going to be obedient to you, because whatever you're obedient to, that's what rules you. What got into this man? So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words which the Lord had commanded. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Liar, liar, pants on fire. It's real easy to say in church that I'm going to do all that. It's real hard to say on Monday morning when the alarm goes off and you don't feel like dealing with your junk. Verse 10, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their garments. Look, you got some funk on your garments. Look, I have four sons. Three of them are teenagers. Now, they're past the middle school years, so it's nothing like it used to be. But we actually had to ask, have you changed your underwear? God's telling his people, wash your underwear. You stink. You stink. Oh, you don't stink when you come to church because you... I'm going to cover it up. I'm not going to let you see what I am. I'm not going to let you see. But what about on Tuesday? What about when you get that text that you didn't want to see? What about when you have to deal with that thing you didn't want to deal with? What about when your boss tells you the thing that you're afraid to hear? Like, what are you going to do then? I don't care how high you jump in church, or how much you shout or clap, or God is not after performers. He's after those who are obedient to him, not on Sunday alone. Come on, somebody. He wants you to fall on your face and worship him, not when people can see you, but when the enemy's looking at you. Yeah. When everything's coming against you, when your own thoughts are... I know none of you ever have your own thoughts coming against you, but I do from time to time. I don't always see myself the way I would like to see myself. Sometimes when I look in the mirror, I see someone that I don't like so well. And I have to confront, do I believe that, or do I believe what he says about me? So God goes on, and he talks to the people. He says, hey, listen, consecrate them, have them wash their clothes, because I'm about to lead them into a place. I want them to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. I want them to be a kingdom of priests, that they're going to be in the kingdom of God as priests of God, so they can be a nation of people on the earth and rule the earth well. Some people say, well, it feels like the church is we're behind right now. We're losing ground. It feels like we need the fire of God. If you want the fire of God, then put some flesh on the altar. Yeah. We want everyone else to sacrifice their flesh. But listen, I've done my part, Pastor. I heard someone say that. It broke my heart. This lady was a worshiper, and I heard her say, she was probably at that time in her early 50s, and she said, I've done my part. I've done enough for God. In other words, she's saying, I've arrived. Well, listen, may I offer to you, if you think you've arrived, you have. You won't go any further. But listen to me, God's moving forward. And if you aren't moving with him, you are falling further and further behind to the place where you'll be outside of the camp and you'll be susceptible to the attack of the enemy. The enemy just wants to separate you. That's all he wants to do. Stay home from church today. Come on, somebody. We just need a day off. Listen, this is the best place you could be when you're struggling. You need to be around your brothers and sisters, not be isolated to where you're getting in that mind funk and you're looking in the mirror and you're believing what you're seeing in the mirror. Are you with me? He's calling you to be a kingdom of priests, a nation of kings and priests that you can rule well. Now, here's the beauty. Watch this now. Watch this. Verse 21, go down and warn the people so that they do not break through to the Lord to gaze and many of them perish. Now wait, God just said, I want them to be a nation of kings. I'm sorry, I want them to be a kingdom of priests so that they can ascend the mountain of God. But then he says, but go warn the people and tell them, do not break through to the Lord to gaze and many of them perish. Why is he saying that? What does gazing mean? Gazing means you're inspecting. God does not need inspectors in the house of God. He is not looking for those people with a critical spirit where you're sitting back and inspecting everything else that everyone does and does nothing yourself. God is not looking for inspectors. He's looking for doers. He's looking not for those who are critical of those who are obedient, but rather those who are willing to be obedient to God. You say, well, my call is to be an inspector. Really? You're the judge now. That's a dangerous place to be. Because see, with the measuring stick that you judge others is the measuring stick which is used to judge you. Yeah. Be careful of wanting to be an inspector. God doesn't need more fruit inspectors. He needs more fruit. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Are you with me? Yeah. So he says to them, he said, don't let them come up unless they perish, because I don't want them to come up here and inspect. I want them to come up here and obey. They've got to go through the 3 days washing their garments and staying clean. So set bounds about the mountain and consecrate it. Then the Lord said, go down, come up again, you and Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, or he will break forth upon them until they're ready. Exodus verse 20. Now, between Exodus 20, verse 18, and Exodus 19, verse 24, there's this section of 17 verses we call the Ten Commandments. But may I submit to you that God did not intend for them to be rules. He never intended them to be rules. He intended them to be indicators of how high you lived above them. What God was saying in that moment is, listen, if you become the kingdom of priests and ascend up to the mountain, then the Lord your God will be your only God. Then you will honor your father and your mother. Then this is who you will be. It's God saying who you are going to be. But the problem is the people said that, listen, we don't want to obey God. We don't want to clean our garments. We don't want to abstain from sin. We want to do our own thing. We want to form ourselves in our own image instead of the image that you created us to be in, God. Because they said in verse 18 of chapter 20, all the people perceived the thunder and lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but let not God speak to us or we will die. In other words, they were saying that we will die if God speaks to us. And the truth is, they will. By intention, by design. Jesus said it this way. He said, listen. He said, you're not worthy to be called my disciple if you're not willing to daily lay your life down, pick up my cross, and follow me. See, the moment you think you have a right to your life the way you want it is the moment you die to his will and resurrect your own. But the moment you say to God, I lay down my life on the altar of God for you, you die to your own life and you pick up the one that he has for you. It really goes back to the garden. I mean, there are basically two trees that are very important. There's lots of other trees. God said, look, you can eat of all the trees in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, I believe that directly across from that tree was another tree called the tree of life. See, you're going to be crucified on one and gaze at the other. You get to pick which one. You're either going to desire the tree, the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and be dead to the tree of life, or be dead to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and eat from the tree of life. It's your choice, but you can't have both. From any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you will surely die. You get to pick the life you have. It's your choice. You either get eternal life or you get something far less. You either get the redeemed life or the unredeemed life. You either get the powerful life or the powerless life. You either get the life that you bow your knee to Jesus, or you get the life you bow your knee to this world. It's yours. You can pick. The beauty is, if you choose the eternal life, you get eternal life. Not just in the sweet by and by when we meet in that beautiful place, but you get the heaven kind of life now. You get your armor fixed. You get your wounds healed up. You get pieces of armor replaced. You get your marriage healed. You get your children saved. Come on, somebody. You say, well, I got kids that I've been praying for years and years and years. Are they dead yet? No, he ain't done yet. If the end of the story isn't good, he's not done yet. All right, let's finish up. They heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. Then they went up into heaven in the cloud, and their enemies watched them. Don't you think for a minute your enemies aren't watching you? Not just your enemies on earth, but the demonic kind. Well, of course they're watching you. Why? They want dirt on you. They're following you around. They're hoping you'll say that thing. They're hoping you say, well, I can never live for God like that. Oh, let me write that down. Matter of fact, let's put that in the form of a court document, And let me enter that in the courts of heaven against you so I can bind that against you. The next time you try to live for God, I can pull that out and use your own words against you. Come on, somebody. Please, don't ever let me hear you say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Listen, that is the biggest lie in the universe. It is the word that brings life. It's also the word that brings death. Come on, somebody. And they went up, and they heard a loud voice saying, come up here. Then they went up into heaven in the cloud, and their enemies watched them. And in that hour, there was a great earthquake. And the tenth of the city fell, and 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake. And the rest were terrified and gave glory to God of heaven. Let me finish up. Stand up with me as we close. God's saying, come up here. 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 Come up here because you've been listening to who I say that you are. Come up here. Come up here because you're willing to walk with me in this journey. Come up here. Come up here because you're drawn to my face. Your eyes are set on me. You're not a fruit inspector. You're a worshiper. Come up here. And if you come up here, you'll be the head and not the tail. You'll be above and not beneath. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. And your enemies will watch you. And the earth will shake around you. And your enemies will fall into that crevice created by that earthquake. And your enemy shall be no more. Come up here. Be my kingdom of priests. If you rule well on earth, then you can come up here and receive the beautiful words that my Father is speaking. They will become weapons in the mouth of the one who hears my Father's voice. And when they release those words on the earth will shake at the sound of the Father's voice. Come up here. Be my people. Father, in Jesus' name, I break off the desire for this world. Listen, I just encourage everyone in this place, if you can, lift your hands up to the Lord. Let me declare over you a powerful declaration. I break off in Jesus' name the desire for darkness and for this world and the things of this world that are holding them back. I break it off of you now in Jesus' name. And I see the Lord himself with angels all around you, with axes in their hand, laying that axe to the root of that which holds you back, that which has tied you, that which has bound you, that which has kept you from being free. I, the Lord, declare over you the goodness of God as you sit, as you take your seat, as you say to the Lord, yes, Lord, whatever you choose, yes, Lord, whatever you desire, yes, Lord, show me. And I'll obey, not just on Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Not just when things are easy, but when things are hard. I choose to live from heaven to earth. I choose to be a priest. I choose to be a king on the earth. So, Father, I bless them now. And I ask you to keep them and make your face to shine on them. Lift up your countenance on them. Now, give them your peace and your grace. In Jesus' mighty name. Pause for just a second. Sam, did you have something? Sam Eckerd, did you have something? Okay, I just want to check. Yep. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I declare them your people, your obedient people who are taking their seats now. In Jesus' mighty name. And all the people of God said, amen, amen, amen. How many love the Lord right now? Give me a hand clap right now. How many are going to live for him for the rest of today? Come on. All right, I'm going to ask the hard question. How many are going to live for him on Monday? How many of you at 6 a.m. when the alarm goes off on Monday are going to say, thank you, God, for this day? Let me see your yes. All right, City Church, go and be blessed. I'll see you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church. And you can find an easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higbee. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.